Welcome to the official Get At Me Dog podcast. Get At Me Dog, real rap, home of the brave, where we joke but we don't play. Home of revolutionary masculinity, where we speak truth to power in defense of and for the furtherance of our God-given human rights. And I'm your host, Craig Broadhead. Yes, Craig, no alias, no stage name, no alter ego, just Craig. You ain't gotta lie, Craig. And I have degrees, but my sincerity is my credentials. Because I've learned far more outside the classroom than I ever did in one. Life has taught me more than any American school, college, or university ever could. It's our responsibility to teach our children our great history in America, especially in a society averse to the truth. When you're a black man, woman, or child, you better know that greatness is a part of your DNA. Greatness is a part of you, and you better know and act like it. Because Nat Turner is dead. Harriet Tubman is dead. Marcus Garvey is dead. Sojourner Truth is gone. Martin and Malcolm are dead. Fred Hampton is gone. Huey's gone. I could go on and on about our long list of courageous black leaders. No one's coming to save me or you. No one's coming to save us collectively but us. And as black Americans, we have a divine heritage and purpose, and it's time we start telling the greatest story ever told. And you better act like you know. What has made America great has never come from the top down. Progress has always come from the bottom up, from the grassroots struggle, 10 toes down. You know, oftentimes European Americans seem to question our patriotism when we challenge the system, when we protest. Black Americans are just as patriotic as any other American. It's just that we very much live in reality, not some fantasy world. You can't spit in the air and tell us it's raining. Based on our history and our experience in America, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights are simultaneously the most beautiful country and documents ever written and the most diabolical, most hypocritical country and documents ever written. Mainstream America, imagine that being your everyday reality. The number one job of any government is to protect its citizens. And America has failed that over our entire existence in this nation. We have too often been the subjects and objects of the nation's disdain. We'd have to be completely delusional not to feel this way. Today, anti-black sentiments are so casual that it's culture, it's nationalism, it's patriotism. But let me explain where some of the disconnect lies when it comes to what many Americans deem in us to be unpatriotic. You see, mainstream America clings to country and flag and anthem and soldiers, and credits them for their freedoms and liberty. We're not anti-country. We're not anti-flag. We're not anti-military. We just know the truth. And we're not going to allow you to force your warped sense of patriotism on us. That's the real fake news and misrepresentation of facts. We love this country. We love and support soldiers. We support this country. We support its soldiers, but we can't rock with BS. The facts will show that no war, no army, no navy, no marine, no air force ever won or granted black Americans the rights and liberties that we enjoy today. Yet we have fought in every war and so-called defense of this country and returned home only to be denied rights as citizens of this country. So stop telling us that we owe our freedoms and liberties to a flag, a military, or a soldier. Black soldiers fought and died, and those that survived came home to be lynched and murdered and denied basic rights as citizens and human beings. It wasn't until another kind of soldier got suited and booted and fought and died and persevered that we as black Americans gained rights and liberty within this country. It wasn't until what I call the patriotic black street soldiers, along with like-minded Americans of other ethnicities who joined us in our fight here in these American streets, the American courts, in various American seats of government. That was their battlefield, and it continues to be our battlefield today in our efforts to make this a more perfect union. It wasn't until conscious and conscientious, active, defiant, ferocious black warriors for justice and equity took the fight to America that my rights were gained. No soldier, no war, no military did that for me. So what I'm expressing to the mainstream is that freedom and liberty are a two-sided coin for us. The U.S. military and soldiers fight abroad, protecting the national interests of the elite government leaders and large corporations, while it's our brave social justice warriors at home who challenge and secure our freedoms and liberty here in this country. And as a student of history and our struggle and our fight in America, it pains me that so many Americans refuse to understand and recognize or even acknowledge this fact, especially when, although it was primarily a movement by black Americans, the civil rights and black power movements, as well as the ensuing civil rights legislations and the momentous Supreme Court victories that secured freedoms and liberties, not just for us, but for all women, for veterans, for Latinos, for Jews, for Muslims, for Arabs, for Asians, for LGBTQ community, for the physically challenged, and many, many more subgroups that enjoy rights today. And even when legislation was passed supposedly to correct the wrongs of the past that were inflicted upon us by America, the system found a way to dilute its full potential to remedy the many injustices by incorporating these other protected groups of Americans. We're not crying. We're not complaining. We're glad. We don't want anybody to be denied their rights. But the result was that many of these groups have benefited far more than black Americans from the blood, sweat, and tears that our ancestors shed in this fight. Yet when Americans hear the words affirmative action, or DEI, they automatically put a black face on it. European women have been the greatest beneficiaries of affirmative action and DEI than any other group. And yet, so many women and other members of protected classes, like Latinos, veterans, LGBTQ members, have the gall to side against black movements and black people in general, politically, socially, and economically, or even in the voters' booth. When our history reveals that it's black Americans who are the rising tide that lifts all boats in this country. But I'm here to tell you that when God chooses you, it's dangerous. When God selects you, you see things as they are, not how they portray them to be. To hell with affirmative action. To hell with DEI. I agree with merit-based opportunities and advancement. Now let me tell you a thing or two about merit. From the very beginning, black bodies, black ingenuity, black strength, black intelligence, black durability, and black perseverance have been the foundation on which America was built. You're welcome. This is our history, not some imaginary American exceptionalism that dismisses, discredits, demonizes, and has attempted to destroy the contributions of black life and black bodies in America, in America's rise to economic, political, and social greatness. To hell with affirmative action. To hell with DEI. Let's talk merit-based advancements. Let's talk about who has earned the right to opportunity, MAGA. Let's discuss what made America great in the first place. As Dr. Eric Dyson expressed in Stolen Wealth and Slavery, he did a foreword for that book. And he said, black bodies created white money and white wealth. It was black muscle and work that built America and brought white vision, dream, and desire to life. Black muscle was the technology for white imagination. Black muscle was used to realize white social and cultural ambition. This is our history. This isn't fake news. This isn't a Russia hoax. This is American history. The spirit is moving. Forget woke. We were never asleep. We may have gotten a little complacent, and maybe the past few generations could have done a little more to pay it forward. But brothers and sisters have always been fighting the good fight. Progress has definitely been made, but I include myself in this statement that we haven't done as much as we could have or should have to pay it forward. Our ancestors and great leaders of the civil rights and Black Power movements of the 50s and the 60s and 70s, who fought and sacrificed and died in triumph so that we who are alive today can enjoy the freedoms we do, are turning over in their graves, seeing what we accept as normal. To some degree, it's like we've even taken this inheritance for granted and have somewhat squandered it, given our destiny of being America's agents for progress and change. We can no longer wander in the wilderness. It's time to deliver on this promise. I'm sure we've all seen it happen in our lifetime, where grandparents come to this country and they acquire property or they build a business. And then when they pass away, they leave the assets to their children and grandchildren, their future heirs. But these heirs haven't put in the same hard work or sacrifices. So sometimes they don't fully comprehend the will and determination it took to acquire them. They take it for granted because it was given to them. So before long, they squander it all. And they lose the money. They lose the property. They lose the house. Or they lose the business. It's similar to the plight of most lottery winners. History shows that within a few short years, many of them are broke again. Well, let's not let that be us. And my appeal is not solely to Black Americans, but all Americans who are sick and tired of being sick and tired. It's time for us to pay it forward. And the solution to our problems can't be solved by Democrats or Republicans. The answers are found within each and every one of us whose hearts and minds are wide open. So the title of episode number one, State of the Union, The Emperor Has No Clothes. But before we proceed any further, I want to take the time to dedicate this entire journey we're about to take to the late, great music and movie icon, my brother Earl DMX Simmons. It goes without saying that he is one of the all-time greats in hip-hop, as well as American and world music history. His music touched and continues to touch the lives of so many people in so many various ways. Just several weeks prior to his tragic and untimely death, I had him appear on Drink Champs with Nori, and afterwards we spent a few weeks in Miami and kicked around ideas with Nori about doing our own podcast. You see, X had one of the most powerful voices, and he didn't do many interviews, so people were often, they were eager to hear what he had to say whenever he did speak. But I want to dedicate this podcast less to DMX, the rapper, the actor, the performer, and more to Earl Simmons, the man who many never got the opportunity to know. Earl was bigger than his music. He was more consequential or impactful than any one song, album, video, role, or performance. Earl was, and in many ways still remains, the people's champ. Some may try to aspire to hold the title, but they don't even come close. Earl represented the have and the have-nots. He represented the afflicted and the triumphant. He represented the cursed and the blessed. He represented those who got knocked down 9 times but stood up 10. He shared his pain. He was transparent, and in being honest about his struggles, what he called his demons. He also taught us that a man or woman doesn't have to wait to be perfect to serve God. That you can serve God right where you are in life, no matter what your condition, no matter what the circumstance or plight. Earl testified often that it was in his darkest moments that God revealed to him just how much he cared. And because of this, he was so much more than an artist. Over the almost 30 years that I knew him, I witnessed the genuine love he received from what some would call his fans, but I call his people, his tribe. I've witnessed many of your favorite rappers and celebrities, some who've gone on to become business moguls, far beyond music. Yet despite all their success, all their money and fame, I watched them look at him with a sort of jealousy or envy whenever they were in his presence, because he had the one thing that their money couldn't and still can't buy. The high that many, if not all of them, are still chasing to this very day. And that's the real love he received from the masses and from the streets in particular. Many of them would give half their fortune just to have 1 ounce of the real love that X received from the streets and from people from all walks of life. As I sit before you today, none of them can walk the streets in any hood across America, whether East Coast, West Coast, South, Midwest, without a bunch of security or cops around them. We were in every hood in America, showing and receiving love. And there wasn't a day when we were in public where at least one person didn't approach him with tears in their eyes or just outright crying. Not with, "You made a hot song or album," or "I loved your movie, you killed that role." But instead, like the 20-something-year-old white girl who squeezed him tight and just kept hugging him and repeating, "Thank you, thank you, thank you." And when she finally released her hug, she looked at him and said, "I was suicidal." And she proceeded to show the scars and the healed scars on her wrists. She said, "My daughter has a mother because of you. You helped me to overcome those thoughts, and I no longer have suicidal fixation. Your music saved my life." Or the brother in Philly who rushed across the street to stop him, I apologize. I don't mean to bother you, dog. I just got home from doing a 10-year bid. Prison is no place for a human being. I would have literally lost my mind if it wasn't for you. Thank you." Or the young man in Canada who happened to get Earl's attention leaving the stage after a show. And he was in a wheelchair, but he was able to get X's attention. And he explained how he was in a near fatal car accident, and that the doctors told him he'd never walk again, and how he didn't know how he was going to go on like this. And before he could go any further, X stopped him, and he said, "The spirit just told me to tell you, the doctors aren't in charge. God is. And he told me to tell you, you're going to walk again." And today, that man is walking. Shout out to Walking Legend. There wasn't a stop sign or a traffic light in any city that if there were people or families or young kids or women on the side of the street holding a sign, that he would stop and make sure he gave them money. Or just about 2 weeks prior to his passing, we were in Atlanta, and he had done an impromptu performance at one of the clubs there. But afterwards, we went to the Metro Diner because we were staying at a hotel right up the block. And when we came out the diner, there were two homeless people there, and it was a real, real cold night in Atlanta. And he got them hotel rooms. Or when we were in Nashville during COVID, the COVID lockdown. But we were out at a hookah lounge that was the only thing open at the time. Shout out to JG at Legends Lounge and Bleak at Chop Nation. Good brothers that held us down. So JG would open up his lounge. It was right up the street from TSU. But after we left the lounge, 4 sisters who are graduates of TSU came back to the ranch that we were renting. Not for some freak off, but they proceeded to sit around the table, and Earl shared some things about his life with them And before long, they each opened up about their childhoods, and they were all in tears. One spoke about having a mother who was severely addicted to drugs and how it impacted her childhood. Another spoke about physical and sexual abuse by a family member. The other spoke about emotional and physical abuse by family members. One big therapy session where they all heard one another and ministered to one another and did a little bit of healing that night. I could go on and on with stories like this, but I'll end with just one more. We were on the boardwalk in Atlantic City, New Jersey, and we couldn't walk 5 feet before someone was asking for a picture. And that's when this older European American woman approached us. I'm not sure which country she was from originally, but she had a European accent. And she had to be in her late 50s. She asked to take a picture, and we thought nothing of it. Took the picture, she thanked him, and she went about her way. Then about 30 seconds later, we see this same woman walking towards us. But her face this time is beet red. She's crying. She's bawling hysterically. We're like, ma'am, are you okay? What happened? Can we help you? And the woman was trying to speak through the tears, and then she's sobbing uncontrollably. I'm sorry to bother you. I have a son, and he's 21. He's mentally challenged, and for the past 2 weeks, he's been mostly unresponsive. We get him up. We bathe him. We dress him. We feed him. He just sits in the chair and rocks, and he won't interact or respond to us. She said, I texted him, my daughter, the picture we took together and told her to show it to him. And then I FaceTimed them. And then we noticed she had her phone in her hand. And she said, guess who I met? DMX. And when she turned the phone to us, his face was lit up. He was smiling. We couldn't make out what he was saying because there was a lot of commotion around us. But he was, and he's saying words. We just couldn't make it out. And Earl just looked up in the sky as tears were rolling down, streaming down his face. He embraced the woman again, and then he took time to speak to her son. Then he asked to pray with them both, and he said a prayer with the woman and her son on the phone. The woman walked away excited and happy, eager to see her son, who was responding to her now. And Earl looked at me. He said, Craig, when you see this, tears are still streaming down his face. He said, you would think that this is a blessing for me. And I responded, of course, God has blessed you with a gift. The way you're able to affect people's lives. And he looked up again. He looked up in the heavens. He said, God, why me? And I'm like, BFW, God gives his toughest battles to his strongest soldiers. He said, yeah, Craig. But how can I have this effect on so many people when I can't fix me? Although I knew this man for so many years, it wasn't until that very moment that I truly understood him or just how severe the mental anguish that he experienced on a daily basis, just how much he was tormented by addiction along with other traumas he experienced over the course of his life. So, Earl, I dedicate this work to your spirit and memory. May God continue to use us both. And my call is for all of us as human beings to be more vigilant and understanding and sympathetic and empathetic to the people in our lives, and to have more compassion for human beings in general, that we recognize that we are all having a human experience, regardless of ethnicity, nationality, gender, sexual orientation, religion, ideology, political party. Every single one of us is having a human experience. The emperor has no clothes. Donald Trump is a fraud. He's a hoax. And to his supporters, it's not about being brainwashed or in a cult. It's simply about employing critical thinking skills. At his joint session before Congress last week, he paraded a black child with brain cancer before the cameras. Please stop acting like it was a genuine act. Both sides parade various women and children when it suits their purpose. And it's not about honoring a child battling brain cancer. It's about what political capital they think they can gain from it. The disgusting thing about the entire episode is that the child's father allowed it. But let's match the president's using this black child as a prop for political purpose compared to his actual actions as president. So he gives this black child honorary fairy tale status as an agent, while in real life, he actually strips a highly respected and decorated black general of his position as the head of the Joint Chiefs. He honors this black child with a symbolic gesture while taking a chainsaw to real jobs and opportunities for black mothers and fathers by attacking diversity and programs and funding. He gives this black child imaginary powers while he literally works to strip black women and all women the right to control their real bodies. He grants make-believe power to this young black child while he calls black men sons of bitches for standing up for their communities. He grants fairy tale moment to this black child while in real life, he took out full-page ads calling for black teenagers to receive the death penalty in a case that they were later exonerated for. And to this day, he has never apologized to those black teenagers who are now grown men who served a combined 40 plus years for a crime they didn't commit. I think you get the point. I don't get caught up in just what someone says or does once to form an opinion. You look at their actions over an extended period of time to see if there's a pattern. Look at his cabinet. He'd rather use this black child as a prop than appoint a qualified black man to meaningful position. Then comes the call for law and order, support for police. We all know what the implications are. It's about getting tough on people of color who commit crimes. Then he calls for the death penalty for cop killers, while just a few short weeks ago, he pardoned January 6 rioters who both directly and indirectly caused the death of police officers. Like it doesn't even require a high level of critical thinking skills, just a little bit. Check to see if the total sum gain of someone's actions matches their words. He recites certain key phrases and his base goes goo goo gaga for him. America first. Close the borders. Illegal aliens. Law and order. Merit-based. Colorblind. America first, but they just sent Israel another couple billion dollars while crying about Ukraine. The math isn't mathing. This is a major money grab by a certain group of wealthy, butthurt, nerdy men who now feel empowered to remedy all the bullying they received during their lifetime because they weren't the cool kids. They don't care about that black child any more than they care about working class or poor Americans. Tariffs on, tariffs off. It's artificial market manipulation. Stocks down, snatch them up. Stocks up, sell. A money grab. Mineral deal with Ukraine and a money grab, not for Americans, but his new buddies. And if anyone is deluded into thinking otherwise, there's no need to debate. They are positioning themselves to benefit immensely from both domestic and foreign policy decisions without even being a bit sneaky or disingenuous about it, right in plain sight. Close the borders, fentanyl. Give me a break. Save women, save our little girls from transgenders in sports. Okay, yes, all six of them. And I'm someone who agrees that human beings ought to compete in sports according to their birth gender. But yet it gets the loudest cheers from the audience whenever he says it, like there's this massive group of transgender women descending upon girl and women's sports. Protect women? But you engineered the reversal of Roe v. Wade, which already has affected and killed more women than any transgender woman in women's sports. protect our girls while mass shootings have harmed more girls than any transgender woman in sports. You're being manipulated. The math doesn't math. And the most outlandish thing Trump did was assert that he's the chosen one because God saved him from an assassination attempt. So let me just say this. Donald Trump was the victim of a failed assassination attempt. He was the victim. How did y'all and he somehow turn himself into a hero? Talk about creating your own facts. Donald Trump was the victim. He got nipped in the ear. He isn't a hero because he got shot at. The father who died that day, jumping in front of his family to shield them from bullets, he's a hero. Donald Trump didn't try to protect his followers. He didn't jump in front of anyone. He dropped to the floor like a sack of potatoes. And then heroic Secret Service officers covered him. It's just amazing to me. He's a master showman and marketer. And some of you just swallow it hook, line, and sinker. He saved no one. He just happened to turn his head at the right moment, and the bullet scratched his ear. He doesn't even have a mark. Evander Holyfield got bit on his ear, and to this day, you can still see the chunk out of his ear. Trump has nothing, but he turned it into great cinema and is riding it till the wheels fall off. But like Styles P said in a 2003 rhyme,
if your head ain't off of your shoulders, you ain't get shot. If your head ain't off of your shoulders, you ain't get shot. You got nipped.
That's not to make light of it, but I'm just sick of this, of how he is just a marketing genius and everybody is calling him a hero. It doesn't require a lot, just a little bit of intelligence to see through the BS. And I'm not a Democrat. I want to flip this entire system on its head. People must take their power back. The average American has more in common with their fellow American or even the immigrant that they're disparaging than they do with the clowns in the office, whether Democrat or Republican. Wake up. And for the record, both Republicans and Democrats are disgusting given the current state of politics in America. The lack of coming to consensus, the lack of common sense, the lack of common decency and critical thinking is both maddening and tragic at the same time. Enough is enough. And while we're on the subject, Democrats and Republicans, liberals, conservatives, please stop with the I have black friends defense. I have family members who are black. Enough already. I have black friends or I've dated black men or women before. Or even parading out a black child battling brain cancer. It doesn't make you any less anti-black than a man saying that they're not sexist simply because they date women. Let that sink in for a minute. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Let me say it again in case you missed it. Having black friends, or even a black spouse, or even a white woman who has black children, or having black coworkers that you get along with, does not make you any less anti-black than a man being able to say he's not sexist simply because he dates women. And you notice I keep using the term anti-black. It's because y'all have so bastardized the term and meaning of what racism actually is to the point that I don't even use it anymore. As a matter of fact, I reject the term itself because there's only one race, and that's the human race. But this black and white thing is the basis for the biggest hoax and witch hunt in the history of mankind. The idea of a black race and a white race or a yellow race and brown race, it was specifically created to allow the powers that be to run game on the masses. It was designed to separate and fool European American working class and poor people that they hold some elevated status over black Americans in particular and people of color in general. You've been hoodwinked. many of you have bought the biggest lie ever told. So my appeal is to the masses of human beings. My appeal isn't to so-called leaders or governments or institutions. My appeal is to people, human beings. My appeal is for Black Americans, Indigenous Americans, Latin Americans, European Americans, Asian Americans, basically working class Americans and poor Americans to unite. To unite in common cause to change the trajectory of American history in a powerful way. Because the emperor has no clothes. The guy in the White House is a fraud. As a matter of fact, Donald Trump is the modern day Elvis. Just like Elvis, who palled around with Black musicians and singers and frequented establishments from churches to bars and soaked up all the swagger, all the rhythm and blues, all the pain, and then culturally appropriated it, and the rest is history. He became a phenomenon and a music icon, a cultural icon. Well, Trump has done the same thing. He palled around with Black athletes, Black artists, entertainers, even politicians and community leaders. Trump wasn't popular, he just had money. So Donald Trump used his money in real estate business to chum up to Black entertainers, and years later, like Elvis, he's singing Black songs and spitting Black pain in white face. And the masses have swallowed it up. He's stolen our story, our critique of American society, and has wrote it twice to the most powerful office in the land, the presidency. His rise to fame lives largely on the charge that the American political, judicial, and legislative institutions are corrupt. His battle cry, in addition to the anti-Black and anti-immigrant undertones, is that government has become a swamp. Drain the swamp. Deep state. Weaponized justice system. The system is rigged. We Black Americans have been trying to get the masses of Americans to understand and acknowledge this for decades, if not centuries. Trump supporters, I'm so glad that you now see the light. But full disclosure, the deep state and weaponized justice system and rigged systems aren't operating against wealthy white men and corporations. They are and have always been the system. Donald Trump is a charlatan. The swamp in America has been espousing and disseminating hateful anti-Black tropes. The deep state has long weaponized the political, judicial, educational, penal, economic, social, housing, medical institutions to support these anti-Black tropes. Black Americans have had their votes denied and stolen. Black Americans have had to endure decades of rigged elections. Black Americans have been the subjects of over-aggressive policing and surveillance by law enforcement. Black Americans have long been the target of politically motivated prosecutions. Black Americans have long been the victims of political violence. Donald Trump is a fraud. He's no savior. He manipulated the American public, and especially some white men and women and Latino men and women, into thinking that their way of life is under attack. One Black president in 47, and now their entire way of life is under attack. Please. The reactions we see today are reminiscent of behaviors following the Reconstruction period in America. This backlash by about half of the American electorate is a direct response to them feeling that they are being victimized because of the gains made by various minority groups in America. As if their world is crashing down around them. Their real fear is that we will do the same thing to them that they've done to us throughout history. That we'll treat them in the manner in which they've treated us. They're delusional. Nothing could be further from the truth. Black Americans have been the most forgiving, the most moral and civilized people on earth, given the evil that's been propagated against us. despite everything that has been done to us. There is zero history of Black Americans terrorizing white people or communities. Zero. Zero history. I'm telling you that racism should be listed as a mental illness. The fear that some white people have of Black people is completely delusional. So the revolution I alluded to in my intro begins in our minds. When my children were still toddlers, I would recite to them, and eventually they learned and memorized the essence of destiny. And for those who aren't familiar with it, it goes something like this. Watch your thoughts because they become words. Choose your words because they become actions. Understand your actions because they become habits. Study your habits for they become your character. Develop your character for it becomes your destiny. So the revolution that I speak of begins with the renewing of our minds. It begins by us controlling the way in which we view ourselves and the world around us. So it follows that we transform the way we think and speak about ourselves, and that we reframe the conditions we find ourselves in. We must reject the traditional anti-Black rhetoric and paradigm that all Americans have been conditioned to view humanity from. It starts with dispelling the awful lie and falsehood of a white race, a Black race, or a yellow race, or a brown race. Just the human race. And outside of that, there are various ethnic and linguistic, cultural, religious, ancestral, tribal, clan, political, social, ideological, and what other myriad of designations or labels that human beings are either born into or choose to identify themselves. So I challenge everyone, when you're filling out any sort of documents and they ask you for race, cross out white, cross out Black, and write in human. Then under ethnicity, do the same. Write in what you identify as instead of accepting their definitions. Start by rejecting their order of doing things because it's part of the oldest hoax of all, and it supports false realities and beliefs that are harmful and destructive to humanity. This completely fabricated construct of race has been used to manipulate and distract us all from our true adversaries and enemies to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The true enemy of any people aren't fellow citizens or immigrants, but the so-called leaders in government and big business. In short, the governments, politicians, and multinational corporations of the world that seek to create division, animosity, distrust, and stoke fear among various groups of citizens so that they focus more on fighting and bashing one another as the cause for all their struggles, all their woes, rather than the crooked politicians and greedy businessmen. As a matter of fact, please tell me when it even became popular for patriots to be ruled. When was it okay to be governed by a group of people who continuously take advantage of you? You done lost your mind. The revolutionary soldiers are turning over in their graves, seeing what we accept as normal today. They fought a revolution over much less than what we accept. They fought over a stamp tax, a tea tax, a quartering act, taxation without representation. Meanwhile, we've been rocked to sleep as government and big business become increasingly more burdensome. They've tricked us into suffering faithfully and quietly, submissive even, as if that's being patriotic. Suffering while the government taxes the same dollar over and over and over and over again. They have the income tax, the federal, state, and municipal taxes, property tax, school tax, gas and excise taxes, sales tax. The list goes on and on. You park your car on streets that your tax dollars already paid for and maintain, and they still make you put money in a meter. That's another tax. Then if the meter runs out, they give you a citation, a ticket. That's another tax. So then you go and you get on the highway that your tax dollars already paid for and maintained, and they require a toll. That's another tax. You cross a bridge or go through a tunnel, and it's another fee. That's another tax. You know what? Times are hard. You try to start a business so you can provide for your family and live the American dream. They charge you a fee for that. That's another tax. You want to make improvements on a home that you already purchased. You have to get a building permit, and there's a fee attached to it. Another tax. When does it end? And you have the nerve to sing Land of the Free. What's free? What can you do that the government isn't regulating and digging into your pockets? Government has become one big racket. Government, politicians, big business, sucking the blood of hardworking Americans. You've been hoodwinked and miseducated. You continue to stand up for and vote for leaders and representatives who actively work against your interests because they've tricked you into believing it's your fellow Americans or immigrants who are your enemy. They vote themselves a raise and enjoy the best health care all on our dime, but deny you a living wage and universal health care. What kind of democracy are we living in? They've convinced you that identity politics is what's wrong with society. No, they've tricked you into casting off your natural God-given identities, like your humanity, your ethnicity, your culture, your language, your gender, etc., to instead believe in abstract ideologies like Democrat or Republican or liberal, conservative, progressive, all to control you better. Well, let me tell you something. I love this country, but I love myself more. That's healthy. I love my country, but I love my family more. I love my country, but I love my people more. I love my country, but I love my community more. I love my country, but I love human beings more. That's a healthy love. Before any flag or anthem or nation or any other inanimate object or idea, I love humanity. I will side with what's best for human beings over any government, business, or leader. What is best and moral and just for all human beings, given any set of circumstances. And this administration has, through words and actions, continued to send out nationalistic dog whistles with age-old white supremacist undertones and overtones that are anti-black, as well as anti-immigrant, specifically demonizing immigrants of color. What is the purpose of this podcast? It's to discuss family, community, culture, country, politics, education, to provide some edutainment, and ultimately develop a grassroots movement with a plan of action to build a nation within a nation, a group of human beings connected in a common cause for a better, more rewarding life for all, providing the necessary services needed rather than us simply waiting for government to do it, a nation within this nation, a network of revolutionary minds who act, a movement of people who create a better life for all, Black Americans, Indigenous Americans, Latin Americans, Italian Americans, Irish Americans, Polish Americans, Asian Americans, Arab Americans, Jewish Americans, all subgroups of Americans. And some of you may ask, well, why don't you just say Americans then? Because I reject their attempt to have everyone assimilate. It's fool's gold. As a matter of fact, keep that bland American dream where everyone is solely American. I don't want to live in a colorblind or vanilla world. It's our differences that make us strong. I want you to see me. I want you to see me and demand that you respect me. I want you to see my blackness. And when I say I'm a black man, I'm also saying that I'm a human being. And if you didn't hear that, then change the anti-black manner in which you view humanity and the world. Black is synonymous with human. Why am I stressing the obvious? Because it gets to the very root of this nation's original sin. I reject and dispel the many anti-black tropes in this country. The myriad of negative American-made stereotypes of black Americans that are so deeply ingrained into the very fabric of America and American life that centuries later they're passed down from generation to generation like a birthright. So deeply fixated in the American psyche that they're learned even when not formally taught. The anti-black beliefs, feelings, sentiments, and practices that have thrived in America from day one that affect both black and European Americans as well. Whether it's the stigma that we are less human, less civilized, less intelligent, criminal, shiftless, lazy even, by nature. Nothing could be further from the truth. I could go on and on. Black is ugly. Black features are less desirable. Black hair is not good hair. Attacks on the most basic of human characteristics in an effort to dehumanize. The fact, the very fact that it's 2025 and I'm still discussing the most basic of tropes is proof that America and Americans still refuse to deal with the root causes of anti-black sentiments, what y'all call racism. I want especially European Americans to understand that even at the most basic level, the psychological warfare of what I call Christian terrorism here in America that has been enacted by America and Americans towards black Americans, right down to the most basic identities and self-worth. So let me share a personal story that reveals what I'm talking about. Even the smallest of microaggressions and messages that black children are bombarded with on a daily basis. Many subliminally from birth onward. So I want European Americans to listen because black Americans, we're already fully aware of it. So my granddaughter, her name is Summer. She just turned 3 years old a few months ago. And she's a smart little girl. And a few months ago, leading up to Christmas, she was looking at a toy magazine with her mother. And they were looking at dolls. And my daughter was asking her which doll she wanted. And when my daughter pointed to dolls of color, various dolls of color, my granddaughter said, "No, they're ugly. This is the pretty one." As she pointed to the white, blonde-haired dolls. And I overheard this, so I immediately let little Summer know that, no, these dolls are the most beautiful dolls because they look like you. They have your features. They have your hair color. I then told my daughter to throw out any white dolls she has and to let everyone in the family know you will not accept any gifts of white dolls. And then I explained to her why I'm telling her this, because the daughter I'm talking about is my youngest daughter. And so I told her about an incident when her older sisters were born. And so I told her the story. I said, I made it clear that when her older sisters were young, were babies, I made it clear to my entire circle that they could only give my girls dolls of color. So full disclosure, I'm the son of a black American father and a European American mother. So when I voiced this to everyone, my mother was very hurt and disturbed when I took this stance. And my mother had a conversation with me and she said, "Why don't I allow her grandchildren to have dolls of all colors?" And I think my younger sister even chimed in that I was being racist. And I told them, "No, obviously you have no clue what racism is, but that's a subject for another episode. We'll definitely get into that." But back to the story. So I turned to my mother and sister and I made an observation. I said, "So when it comes to me, you're concerned about my black children, your grandchildren, having white dolls. Yet in my entire life, all the Christmases, all the birthdays in my mother's family, and my mother on her side of the family, she's one of 11 siblings, and they each have gone on to have sizable families of their own. I've never once seen you or any of your family or white people in general gift your white nieces or friends black dolls, not even once." And that was back when I was about 24 years old. So that has been 24, 25 years of my life. Never has seen them gift white girls, black dolls. Needless to say, the conversation pretty much ended with that nugget. Like my Trinidadian grandmother-in-law used to say, that's food for thought. You do the dishes. And a quick update on my granddaughter. I took little Summer to the store a couple of days ago, and all by herself, she picked out dolls of color, a light-skinned doll and a brown-skinned doll. And it was the intentional teaching and conversations about beauty that taught her to see beauty in herself. Just proof that as Frederick Douglass said, it's easier to build strong children than to repair broken men. And this story, I know to many, may seem even insignificant in the scope of things, but it actually gets to the crux of our existence in America. It begins with what are often the many unspoken and implied assaults on black life. The psychological warfare begins at birth through cartoons and books and magazines and commercials and TV shows, indoctrinating each and every one of us on what is beautiful and what is not. And my little granddaughter is light, bright, and damn near white. Imagine how little dark-skinned black girls are made to feel in this country. It's not insignificant. Thoughts, ideas, words, actions, habits, character, destiny. So let's continue the work. How do we build a nation within a nation that's set on promulgating the same old way of doing things? Simple. Never expect help from a system that was never designed to protect you in the first place. The system was designed to exploit us. Simple as that. So how do we move forward? We design and build our own institutions, and it starts with our children. Donald Trump is looking to get rid of the Department of Education. That's what they tell me. No worries. We'll let the politicians fight over that while we build safeguards. So I'm calling on all educators with a revolutionary and forward-thinking mind to reach out to me via email, officialgetatmedogpodcast@gmail.com. Once again, officialgetatmedogpodcast@gmail.com. We will form a group of dynamic thinkers to collaborate on creating our own curriculum. As a matter of fact, not just educators, some tech people as well. People who are know how to create apps, because we want to create some apps as well to help facilitate this. But we want to collaborate on creating our own curriculum, pre-K through high school. We don't depend on the government to do the job that we should be providing for our youth. But I want to close this episode with a short recap of a story regarding J. Edgar Hoover. I'm sure we all have heard of J. Edgar Hoover. He was a director of the FBI for decades and one of the most treacherous, I would say, Christian terrorists ever. And in my next episode, we'll discuss our relationship between our community and law enforcement. And I would encourage all of you, all my listeners, to read the book, The CounterPro Papers. It stands for Counterintelligence Program. It's not a book of conspiracy theories or opinions. It's not some author's opinion. It's a book of official government documents that you can read for yourself and see what government and law enforcement did to leaders and members of the civil rights and black power movements, along with some Native American movements and Latin movements in the Communist Party in America. But it basically declared and executed an illegal, unconstitutional domestic war on black leaders and movements. And no one has been held accountable to this very day. But we'll get into that next episode. So anyway, Hoover is discussing the Black Panther Party with his agents. They're decrying them as public enemy number one. Black dress, black suits, black beret wearing, gun, rifle toting, safeguarders against police brutality. But do you know what Hoover said was the most dangerous program? Not the guns, not the community patrols, not the call for revolution, not the leftist ideology, but their free Breakfast for Children program. Why? Because he said that while they're feeding the children before school, they're also educating and indoctrinating these black children that black is beautiful, that black is powerful. They're educating them to love themselves, teaching them their history, teaching them the truth about their African heritage as well as their American heritage. You think that the powers that be aren't intentional in how the American educational system is designed and specifically what is taught and why? You think the powers that be want a truly enlightened citizenry? How would they be able to run game if black Americans and Irish Americans and Italian Americans and Latin Americans and Japanese Americans and Chinese Americans and Indian Americans all knew real American history, where it's not told from the WASP perspective, but all perspectives with each of us having agency? This is about our children. As I recited earlier in the podcast, it's easier to build strong children than it is to heal broken men. So this is the first initiative I want to take. And this is truly a grassroots effort. As a matter of fact, there isn't any grass yet, just fertile soil and a few seeds. So let's get to work. Those educators who are interested in creating something special, email me and we'll set up Zoom call to get the ball rolling. Until next time, God bless, keep the faith, and remember, don't stress too much, because the emperor has no clothes. Truth always comes to light. Be that light. Oh,